Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here again with Elena Svetzlot from the Netherlands. And we are here to talk to you about the heart of a child. And as we do each time we get together, we take one other issue or one other part of the heart or one other thing that's really important in parenting and try to discuss that. So here we are again, looking forward to some good conversations. And Elena, I'm grateful that you're joining with me again today. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Scott, and thank you for having me. I am also very excited about the topic today. And in fact, I want to recommend it to parents, to many of my friends who are going to, I'm sure, listen carefully and pay attention to what we're going to discuss today. Dr. Scott, the Bible talks about how important friendship is, not only for children, but for everybody, for adults, how much it can shape somebody's life and the way they're walking with the Lord, but the way they can depart from the Lord and all the other characters that all the character, the qualities they're building in themselves. I would like to talk today about this. And I would like maybe to focus on specific age groups, on how we best can support our children. And as coaches, how we can support our other parents in supporting their children and teenagers on how to choose their friends.
Yeah, I think it's important for parents. And, you know, we like our kids to have play dates. We like our kids to get involved in sports and school sometimes. You know, parents have the kids in school one way or another. And if they have them homeschooling their kids and they've got them involved in activities with other people, we want our kids at church, and all of those places offer opportunities for our children to socialize. Socialization is very important for children because it allows them to develop life skills, relational skills. Now, some parents think that the most important thing is to have children relate to their peers, that is, children of their own age. Mm. And although that can be helpful, sometimes just children of your own age limits a child's ability to develop. So having children relate to children younger than them and older than them, even to learn how to relate to adults effectively, can increase their social development. So you want to think broadly about social development in children, but choosing friendships is an important part of what we do as we're helping our children develop their development and to parent them along the way.
I think indeed it's very important and critical because I notice that children copy a lot. They copy other people's behavior, language. They copy the way other people are reacting or other their friends. So it's indeed a good for parents to know how to steer their children. I would like just to comment on something important that you said, Dr. Scott, about having friends at different ages. And this is something that I don't think many parents have thought about, or I at least have not thought about that. But I think that's indeed something that we should consider, that we should not limit the friends, especially when our kids are young, we should not limit their friend group only to their the same age, but we should have them experience being engaged with children which are older, which sometimes feels a bit scary when you have young children because you don't know how they're going to react. So that's actually a very interesting way to think about, helping children develop, for sure.
I've talked to parents of children who are homeschoolers, and I've talked to a lot of homeschoolers myself, who their children are quite impressive in the way that they're able to interact, work with other people. So the fact is that I'm impressed with those kids, because they're able to interact with me and they don't seem to be limited by the fact that they don't go to school with kids of their own age. So that just reminds me that children can learn a lot socially by interacting with all kinds of people. And in fact, I think sometimes we do our kids a disservice by just letting them hang around with their own little group. So that's one of the things. Let's do a multi-generational or multi-developmental stage kind of interaction with our kids. That will help them valuably.
Yeah. And how do we guide our children, Dr. Scott, in how we advise them or we give them wisdom on how to choose their friends? It's so difficult even for us as adults to do that because we cannot really know the heart of a person. And when we start building a friendship, or when we start getting closer to somebody, we just see maybe sometimes what's in the outside. What would you say should we tell our children, or how should we guide them when it comes to our own way to advise them about that?
Yeah, that's an important question. And I think there's a big difference between younger children and older children here. So let me just make some statements about younger children. We have a lot more control with the choices that our children make when they're younger about the friendships that they're engaged in. So the children aren't making the choices, it's parents that are making the choices. So I do think that those choices are important, and parents obviously want to find nurturing relationships for their children. That's going to be an easier decision than when our children get to be older elementary children or teenagers, and now the child themselves is determining what friend they're going to embrace or something like that. So let's first remind children of this. And this is one of the things I say to young people, that people usually choose friends because they're looking for something in themselves that they want drawn out. In other words, a person who likes to laugh a lot wants to hang around with someone who's funny. Person who likes to be mischievous often hangs out with people who are sly, sneaky, and mischievous. So you have to be really careful when you're picking friends, because you pick friends based on things that are inside of you, and you want to nurture those things that are positive character qualities, and you don't want to give room for the flesh, as the Bible says. You don't want to give room for bad things to take place. So if you see your kids developing friendships with kids who are questionable, it's likely because your child has a challenge in an area that you're going to want to try to address somehow, some weakness that child has, or some attraction that child has that isn't the best. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I just want to say is that when children are choosing friends, they must realize that those who hang around with the wise grow wise, but those who hang around with fools suffer harm. That's right out of Proverbs. And so what we're trying to do is help our children to realize that friendships are very important, because they're going to chart the course of your actions in your life. So if you want to get good grades in school, for example, you want to hang around with other kids who are interested in studying and not just cutting up and getting into trouble. So we've got to choose our friends wisely when it comes to nurture and growth and health. They have an influence on our lives.
Yeah, I think that's so critical. And I think making our kids aware and share with them these principles on how to choose their friends and give them these tools, I think it's going to be very important when they grow up, and we will have less and less authority or influence on the friends they're going to choose. So that's why I think it's important to start early, like you said, to give them this kind of guidance around how to choose their friends, and for us also as parents to be very close to our children and to be able to communicate with them and to tell them when and how maybe they're choosing the wrong friends, and indeed look for the weaknesses and why they're choosing the friends. I think that's so important. I think very few parents perhaps think of that, of how our kids choose friends, but that's indeed very true, that they're choosing their friends to kind of fill a gap perhaps for them, or to give them something more of what they need. So that's very, very important. Dr. Scott, how do you advise parents to stop a friendship, or help stop a friendship that becomes challenging when the child doesn't really want that?
Yeah. See, that is a real problem. And the reason it's a problem, it has to do with the heart. Sometimes our desires in our heart head us in directions that are not the best for us. This is not just for children, it's for anybody. That we want something, and the things we want are strong pulls in a direction that aren't the best. And so I do think we need to have conversations with our children to encourage them in particular ways. But there's sometimes when we just say, the answer is no, you can't go over to that person's house, or no, we're not going to spend time with that person. That person's not very helpful for you. Other times, if you feel your child's having has strong enough character and this person is like even a family member, you might say, let's look for ways that we can witness to this person, or you can be a leader when that person tries to do the wrong thing. What are you going to say? So we use the relationship that we can't really get out of, but we're using the relationship in a way that strengthens the character in our own child. Now, I would suggest there are several practical things that we can do here. One is that we want to encourage children, for the most part, to either play at our house. We can monitor their actions and interactions, or we make sure that the parent on the other end, there's a parent home if the child's going to someone else's house, or that the parent is not only home, but the parent has the same values that we do. Mm-hmm. All of that will contribute to watching children, because children can get themselves into problems if they don't do what's right. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be some management accountability in the midst of this. And that's all part of the growth experience for children.
Yeah, my advice for parents is to pay attention closely to the group of friends that their child or children are developing, because I think it's harder to break a friendship once it went very far further down the line and they're very close than when it's in the beginning, or at least to help children get the wisdom and why they should be mindful of that person. And indeed, with family members, I think we all know when there's bad influences, that, you know, we definitely need to be witnesses to that. Dr. Scott, I notice in myself that when I see a bad influence around my child, I want to remove it. And I read a lot and I listened to advice that says that it's not necessarily the best way to do that, to keep your child in a bit of a bubble. What, working with so many children and parents, what would be your advice? How do we deal with kind of our tendency to want to keep our children really, you know, in a little bubble?
Well, I think the idea of a bubble is a negative connotation for protection and safety. Keep in mind that children can find themselves in danger rather quickly. So I think it's wise for parents to take quite a bit of care in this area of friendships. For example, when I highly recommend to parents, they don't allow their kids to do sleepovers, mm-hmm. either your house or someone else's, because bad mm-hmm. things happen mm-hmm. in the nighttime. Mm-hmm. And it's just a dangerous thing for kids to get involved in sleepovers. Maybe your child wouldn't do anything negative or bad, but another child, or maybe a brother or sister in the other person's family, and the kids get exposed to things or get involved in things that are just so bad. I've come to the conclusion to just recommend to parents as much as possible, don't do sleepovers. Now, maybe if you as parents are going off, you know, on your own marriage getaway, you're going to have to do a sleepover, and so it's best if they're with grandparents or someone who can manage them in a wise way, mm-hmm. And maybe you'll have to have them in a sleepover somewhere. But as much as possible, I'd advise parents not to do sleepovers. Rather, you want to go over and play with that friend in the evening. That's fine, but we all sleep in our own beds. Mm-hmm. I think that's wise. The second thing, you know, you have to protect your kids when it comes to the cell phones, mm-hmm. because children find themselves in text message groups that they didn't invite themselves into. Mm. What is your child going to do when all of a sudden they find themselves in a group of five other kids who are sharing pictures or they're saying things, you're using foul language, and your child didn't ask to get into that group, but now is in it because they're somewhat of a friend somewhere. That is another example of limits that need to be set. I just don't think we can walk away and say, hey, let our children learn from experience, because experience is so dangerous. I do think we have to limit their friendships, look for ways to protect them until here's the measuring factor, Elena. I think this is what you're asking. Mm. How do we know how much freedom we can give to our child to choose friendships and spend time with another child? And the answer has to do with character. If we don't see the heart qualities in a child necessary for integrity, then we need to limit more their ability. So I regularly am saying to parents, don't say to your child, when you're 12, you can do a sleepover. When you're 12, you can babysit or something. It doesn't have to do with age. It has to do with character. And so you're monitoring that. And a child who has a strong sense of character and integrity may have more privileges than another child, or should have more privileges than another child. So we're going to limit our child's interaction based on the character that they have in order to protect them. Otherwise, bad things can happen and then serious consequences that take place that are just not worth it. So we have to take some action in that regard.
Yeah, I remember maybe you have told us at some point about the story about a girl who was going to a movie with some friends, and the movie they were going to and that the mom approved was full, and then the friends went to another movie and she didn't want to go there because she that movie was not approved. And so that's how we see that our children have character, because they make these kind of decisions and on their own, and we can really trust them to make this kind of decision. So that's how parents can see that. Yeah, that's absolutely very, very important. And I think it's so easy for parents to move to into limiting or giving freedom for certain things based on the age. And I think we should have that shift of thinking into letting them show a character quality or character qualities before we allow them or before we give them the freedom. I think that's absolutely crucial. But it's just so easy for parents to slip into the other, you know, they old enough to do it. So thank you for that. That is so important, Dr. Scott. I have one more question, Dr. Scott. From your experience, should parents who are, you mentioned children who are homeschooled and children who go there are children who go to normal schools. Do we need to look at things in a different way as parents when we homeschool our children, give them some extra attention, or do we need to limit things more for children who are going to normal schools? And I just want some kind of nuggets of wisdom that you saw over the years that can help parents make a big difference in the life of their children.
Well, okay, so if our children are out in the world a lot, then they often are attracted to things they see in the world. So they need the ability to manage those thoughts, behaviors, attitudes that are present there. So there needs to be some strong teaching of our children. But you have to realize we all have a sin nature. So you can find children who have significant problems inside the church too. So even if you just keep your kids around church friends, they still have to know how to deal. Kids still need to know how to deal with the challenges. I suggest to parents that they're like the destroyer in a fleet of ships sometimes, where they're the ones pointing out the enemy and attacking that enemy for their child, so the child can see that. Not attacking our own children or not, but showing that there are lies out there and there are attitudes out there about things that are dangerous. And children who spend a lot of time around secular exposure to secular influences pick up those things, pick up the attitudes and the things that are there. So we must have some plans to address them. It's really important. Mm-hmm. And as parents work with their children in that way, then they can use the situations as teaching opportunities. So I always think that if kids are involved in wherever they're involved, public school or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or, you know, any kind of experience that they have, we must monitor what they're doing and then also provide them with alternative friendships that may not be in those environments or find people that even in a public school, they're Christians. And so if we can find other friends that our children can be exposed to and enjoy, that's great. But I do think we're looking to a great extent about how to guide our children into appropriate friendships. It's just going to be such an important part of their lives. And we need to then equip them. We equip children to know, what are you going to do when you find yourself in a group text? How are you going to get out of it? How are you going to handle yourself? Or what are you going to do when a friend tempts you to go and do something you know is wrong? How are you going to stand up for what's right? Those kind of equipping sessions are very helpful for children. And I think that's what one of the benefits of allowing children to find themselves occasionally in those situations, that you get to train them. Yep. And they see the dangers. Kids see the dangers of finding themselves in these bad situations, and you're able to help them. It's just when they're immersed in the culture of worldliness that it just becomes so overwhelming for children. They often can't escape it. So we have to be careful.
I so agree with you. And I think that parents should really take a leadership position. And like you mentioned, don't be afraid as parents to set limits, to manage your child, to take sometimes decisions for them. If it's in their own benefit, absolutely so. So we want to encourage parents and we want to strengthen them and we want to give them the opportunity and to learn. So Dr. Scott, I know you are running a new parenting coaching course, correct?
Yes,
I am. So if you're interested as parents to join that, otherwise, if you're interested to work with us as coaches, please feel free to get in touch. We can be found at biblicalparenting.org, Dr. Scott and myself at elenashvetzel.com. And please do listen to the other episodes we have in our podcast. There will give you a lot of tips, but also strategies that you can implement in your families to help your children grow closer to God and to help your relationship with them get better and better.
You know, I'm grateful for the times we spend together, Lena, because they give us an opportunity to delve into specific issues. This one about friendship is an important one. And I think as people go over the different podcasts and learn the things that we're talking, it creates a way of thinking about working with children that is more than just surface behavior. You know, we're looking more at the hearts of children. How can we guide our children in the right way? So I'll look forward to doing this again. I encourage you folks, as you're listening to these podcasts, not to listen to the ones, other ones we've done, but share them with your friends and look at the resources that we offer on our websites. They'll all contribute to the growth as you as a parent are trying to do the best job you can to reach the hearts of your children. So till next time, may God bless you as you work with your kids.